Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on our Labor Day Sunday celebration. Let us please prepare our hearts for worship by singing the hymn of preparation, which is found in your bulletin. Main Street continues to be a very busy church. There are several meetings of interest that you need to take note of. One is the Council on Ministries meeting. We've changed our time, so please note that it was in the newsletter, September the 13th, as opposed to Tuesday. That'll be on Sunday night. And on Monday, September the 14th, the Staff Parish Relations Committee will begin its work. In addition, there are computers set up outside the fellowship hall today. So when you're waiting in line to get your food or you finish eating early, please go and fill out the computer survey on those computers. It's the interest and profile and talent survey that we're trying to collect. We're getting ready to do nominations, and we really do need your input. You will also notice on the bottom of the bulletin that there are several areas of assistance that Main Street needs. We urge you to please pay attention to those and see where you can find your niche at Main Street. We do want you to participate. There is a flyer in your bulletin about the supper clubs. Do take note of that. And finally, the disciples' Bible studies are beginning to get started. And next Monday, I want to call to your attention one particular one that's just shy of making. And we really need for you to step up and help us. It's Disciple One, and they're going to have an orientation meeting in the Stephen Ministry Room at 9 o'clock a week from tomorrow. Take a chance. Take the plunge, and you will find that your life has been really blessed. There are other disciples groups that have met and books that are being ordered, but I wanted to highlight this one for your attention particularly. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. please stand and join me in the call to worship? Listen, God is welcoming us to this time of worship. Young and old, rich and poor, all are welcome. This is the place where all belong. This is a time when all are accountable to God. The Maker of all seeks our common good. The God of mercy calls on us to be merciful. We are not judges over our sisters and brothers. We are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Come to sing praises and put your trust in God. Come to prepare yourself to serve in Christ's name. Bring all our needs to God, our hope. We want to share faith and hope with others.
Please be seated, and I invite you to join me in our invocation. O God, our guide and guardian, you have led us apart from the busy world into the quiet of your house. Grant us grace to worship you in spirit and in truth, to the comfort of our souls, and to the upbuilding of every good purpose and holy desire. Enable us to do more perfectly the work to which you have called us, that we may not fear the coming of the night, when we shall resign into your hands the task which you have committed to us. So may we worship you not merely with our lips during this hour, but in word and deed all the days of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Why are you still here with me? Didn't you see what I've done? In my shame I want to run and hide myself, yeah. But it's here I see the truth. I don't deserve you, but I need you to love me. And I won't keep my heart from you this time. And I'll stop this pretending that I can somehow deserve what I already have. I need you to love me. I have wasted so much time pushing you away from me. I just never saw how you could cherish me. 'Cause you're a God who has all things, and still you want me. But I need you to love me, and I won't keep my heart from you this time. And I'll stop this pretending that I can somehow deserve what I already have. Your love makes me forget what I have been. Your love makes me see who I really am. Your love makes me forget what I have been. Oh, 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 I need you to love me. Yeah, I need you to love me.
Good. It just occurred to me as they were singing, if we did not have a contemporary service, all this talent would have remained hidden to us. If we did not have the prayer shawl ministry, all the prayer shawls you will see later never would have occurred. And we could go on and on and on. I think Main Street is just at the beginning of discovering the depth of the talents and the gifts that God has given us. And we as a church need to give you opportunities to come forth and use them. Now we're going to pray in a different way. I'm going to ask, as we do in the 9 o'clock service, this is a blended service, for your thanksgivings, your concerns for one another, your prayer concerns and intercessions, and then we, the congregation, after we hear them, you'll hear me say, Lord, in your love, and you answer, hear our prayer. But hearing them might be the issue. God will hear them. I'm not sure if I can hear you. So if you could, please lift your prayer up to God. And when I discern with my feeble hearing that you have finished, I will say, Lord, in your love. And then we as a congregation will say, hear our prayer. And when the entire event of congregational prayer seems to have come to an end, I will offer a short prayer, and together we will end with the Lord's Prayer. If that sounds confusing, it's not. It will just happen. It's worship. Now let us pray. Lord, we lift up the prayers of our hearts before you, knowing that they are heard, and in your way, in your will, you do work things together for the good. We do thank you for the great good you have worked for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the grace and love you have given us, and for the presence of your Spirit and the talents and gifts you have given us to continue his ministry. We thank you and praise you today. Now, Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, in your love, hear our prayer. 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 Lord, in your love, hear our prayer.
Lord, watch over our grandson in Jordan and all those men and women in this room before you. Keep our country safe.
Lord, in your love, hear our prayer. 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 Lord, we do thank and praise you as our Lord, our Savior, our Creator, our Sustainer each day. We come to rejoice that you are like the Father in the prodigal son parable who welcomes us home with open arms, sinners who repent and return to an amazing celebration. We thank you for your grace and for your embrace. And now we, like the prodigal, seek to live out lives of thanksgiving for so great a love. As forgiven people, use us to forgive others. As beloved, use us to love others. As hopeful people, use us to spread hope. As gifted people, use our gifts and talents. Lord, to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. And as those who have been called and talented into particular fields and vocations and jobs, help us see that not as something separate from our life, but as a calling in which we have influence and contact with other people outside this building, but Lord, not outside your love. Help us be a light of Christ in every situation. And now, Lord, we do pray as your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If only the sermon were as good as the music is today, we'd have something. Today we are... I heard a voice say there's still time. I don't know. Throw this away and just see what God leads me to say. We are going to have special music also during the offering. And I do remind you that the budget is the main concern right now. I thank you for rising to the occasion and making the principal payment back in July. And we made that completely. The budget now, I think because of your having given extra to that payment, is suffering. But we're coming out of the summer. Last, I guess, official Sunday of the summer. And because we have special music during the offering, there is time to add a zero to your check. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You are my supply, my breath of life. Awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for. Still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and my having you is more than enough. You're my sacrifice of greatest price. Yeah, still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King. You are everything, yeah. Still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
You're enough.
You're enough, you're enough for me. You're enough, 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 you're enough, you're enough for me.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Come on a little bit closer because I've got some things to show you. Show and tell. Okay. There's a test that goes with it too, though. All right, I brought some items. Ooh, my. And I'm going to show them to you, and I want you to be thinking of what they have in common. Okay, so can you help me identify them? What is this? It's a CD. Good. What is this? Medicine. What is this? A calculator. What is this? And I just got it in the last couple of months. I had one for 10 years. So, a new cell phone. What is this? A remote control. And this is a very large flashlight. Has anybody guessed what these things have in common? They all do something. They're all things that starts with a W. And I go and do this at a job every day. Work. They're all things that work. Now, I don't understand how these things work, but most of the time, they do. Let's talk about this CD. I have no clue how it knows to play music, but somehow it does. God is like that too, because no matter what I'm feeling, if I'm sad or even if I'm happy, God can put a song in my heart. Let's look at the cell phone. I have no clue how it knows to allow me to talk to someone who might be thousands of miles away, but it does. God is like that too. I can talk to him. I can talk to him through prayer, and he gets back to me. He may not always get back to me when I think he should get back to me, but he always gets back to me. Let's look at the medicine. How does it know exactly where to go when I don't feel well? How does it know to go to my big toe when my big toe hurts? How does it know? I don't know, but it does. God is the great healer. No matter how much pain we're in, God is our healer. Let's see what else I've got. Oh, the calculator. I don't know how it knows how to do percentages, but it does. And no matter how big my problem is with God, he knows how to solve my problems. Let's see. Oh, how about this flashlight? I kind of do know that it has something to do with batteries and things like that, but I still don't get how it works all the time, how it just always knows to turn on or to light a path. But you know what? God always knows how to light our path, to show us the way, no matter what's going on in our lives. Let's see. Oh, the remote control. No matter where I'm sitting in my den, I can turn up the volume. I can change the channel. I can go fast forward or go rewind if I'm watching something on a DVD. I don't know how that works, but it usually does. God is always in control. He's in control of everything on earth. Do you know that He works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? How many days are in a year? Yeah, 365 days a year without a break. I don't know how He does it, but He does. I just have to have faith to know that He does that. Now, my job and your job is to work hard every day here on earth, in school, on the playground, at home, in church. Our job is to do God's work everywhere we go, guys. Let's have a prayer. Ready? You repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for all the work you do every day of our lives. Help us to have faith, to believe that you are in control. Remind us that our job is to do your work on earth. Amen. And have a great Labor Day tomorrow. That's another place we show how we don't work that day.
And now, to be on the safe side, as we announced last week, in order not to pass the flu from person to person to person, let us pass the peace by looking deeply into each other's eyes, sharing God's love, but not so much touching. Let us pass the peace. Okay. Peace. Peace. Yes.
I'm going to screw it out after I read the epistle. Okay. Before you pray.
Okay.
The epistle reading today comes from James 2,
1 through 17, starting at page 278 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the law, royal law, according to the scripture, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to sort of ease into this sermon about faith and works with a short story from my life. Some of you know that when I was younger, much, much younger, I spent about 10 years of my life seriously into martial arts, and I earned a black belt and I earned an instructor stripe and had a small church-centered club for several years. And as an instructor, I had a book with all the forms typed out, move by move by move, and a series of tapes showing all the forms done properly. Now here's the thought experiment I want to invite you into. How do you think it would have worked if I had handed out the written forms and had the people memorize them? And then maybe we could gather a few times a week and watch the tapes. And then as they memorized the forms and they watched the tapes over a certain period of time, I could promote some of them to yellow belt and then to green stripes and green belt and then to blue belt and red belt. And eventually, after watching the forms and memorizing the steps on paper, what if then I awarded some of them a black belt? How would that be? And then to take it even further, what if a few were actually promoted to instructor, teaching others to do what they had never done? Do you think, without the stretching, without the fine-tuning of the reflexes, without the hardening of the shins and the hands and the feet, that they would be able to perform any of the actual moves or any of the actual breaks or any of the actual jumps or blocks, much less defend themselves or perform in any way whatsoever? It is an absurd idea, isn't it? And yet, it is what many churchgoers do for years and years and years. Today we celebrate work. And I want to struggle with and see if we can see together that the work of faith begins the moment you accept the grace of God. The work of faith, as Paul says, sometimes involves fear and trembling. The work of faith, it's not just sitting around waiting for heaven. The work of faith is here and now, because God is here and now through God's Holy Spirit and has the goal of growing us through time closer and closer to the life that we see in Jesus Christ. The foundation is Christ. The goal is Christ. The power to grow comes from God's Holy Spirit. And as Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are what He has made us, created a new creation in Christ Jesus for good works." Good works which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We are God's workmanship, and we have work to do. Now, the first story reminds me of another one. Once I was talking to a very distraught young woman who had just found out that her husband had been having an affair. And crying on the phone, she said something profound, something I will never, ever forget. In the shock of the moment, she said, "I guess now I'm going to find out whether I really believe all this Christian stuff about forgiveness. I guess I'm going to find out now. I guess I'm going to find out if all that theory and all that promise of God's help to forgive is going to be real in my life or not." Turns out it was. Reading about forgiveness, sitting and watching films about forgiveness, and sitting through sermons on forgiveness are good, but we know that God has, as I read to you from Ephesians, the second chapter, has made us and created us a new creation in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. And forgiveness is one of those things that Jesus was very explicit about us doing. Oh, but when we have to actually do it, in the real world, in our real lives, we come to realize that we need God's help to even begin to practice such things. They don't often happen without prayer and some fear and trembling. Now, I want to be clear about this. I'm not talking about the beginning of faith. I'm talking about the practice of faith, acceptance of God's gift as a Savior for us, and our need of a Savior is the beginning. And the very end of faith, if you want to fast forward ahead, is to be eternally with God. And what I'm talking about today, and what James, I think, is talking about and making very clear, is the middle of faith. The day-to-day faith, where you work out with God's help what we read on the page and hear in the sermons. You know, the word salvation means more than just being forgiven and going to heaven. It means much more. It means healing and wholeness. It means becoming what you were intended to be. It means all those things: healing, wholeness, and becoming what God has intended for you to be. And the Apostle Paul sometimes speaks of, if you'll hear these images through his letters, he speaks of putting on Christ, of having the mind in you that was in Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. In so many various ways, Scripture says, and too often we miss, that this faith of ours is supposed to make a difference in our daily life, change us and grow us toward the life that Christ lived. It is God's work of making you whole, of making you healed, of making you holy. And it isn't about theory. It is about practice, growth and change and becoming what God intends us to be. And so very pointedly, James asks, "What good is it if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him?" The implied answer is no. James' premise is that faith will show in works, or it wasn't faith. You know, Jesus told a story that I don't think many people connect here, but to me it is along the same lines. It's about the two sons, not the prodigal son story, the other two sons story. He said, "Tell me what you think of this story. A man had two sons. He went up to the first and said, 'Son, go out for the day and work in the vineyard.' The son answered, 'I don't want to.' But later on, he thought better of it, and he went. The father gave the same command to the second son, 'Go out and work in the vineyard.' And he said, 'Sure, glad to, Pop.' But he never went. Then Jesus asked the listeners, after he told that short story, which of the two sons did what the father asked? And they all looked at each other and said, the first. And Jesus said, yes. And I tell you that the criminals and the prostitutes are going to precede you into God's kingdom, because John came to you showing you the right road and you turned up your noses at him, but the criminals and the prostitutes believed him. Even when you, and he's speaking to the Pharisees who were so about external faith alone, he said, even when you saw their changed lives, he said to the Pharisees, even when you saw their changed lives, these criminals and prostitutes, you didn't care enough to change and believe him. Referring to John the Baptist, who preached repentance and preparation for his coming as a Savior. Saying yes to God with your lips is not enough. We need to do as Abraham did, and Abraham is brought up later in James, the second chapter, and that is to say yes to God with our lives. Faith is complete trust in God and the life that flows out of that trust. It is not mere works and it is not mere words. It's both. Jesus says to me that the words to the Father, I'll do what you want, in that parable, mean nothing unless it becomes real in your life. Yes, salvation is of God, and we cannot earn it. It is a gift, but faith is our response to God's gift and what God has done for us. And we're called to live out our response. Salvation, healing, wholeness, and life eternal are God's work. Faith is our response. Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. I'm reading from the actual verse. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. In verse 10, he goes straight into what happens, though, after salvation. He says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Saving faith is only possible because of God's grace. But in what I just read from Ephesians, immediately after that, so nobody misses it, Paul dives right into God doing something in and through us. Works. Doing something through us and in us. Some good things God has always had planned for us to do. RSV says, good works that we should walk in them. So salvation is of God, but faith shows itself that it's real, not just external. It shows itself in good works. It has always been a part of the plan, Ephesians, the second chapter says. God acted in Jesus, and He will act at our death. But there's a middle part. God is still here and now. The Holy Spirit is here and now. God is still doing things. God is still creating. What is God doing in you? How is God making you new? Trust and faith. Really, the words belong together. Complete faith in God is complete trust in God. They are the same thing. It means giving your entire self to God. John Wesley had a once-a-year covenant renewal in which he says toward the end of it, and the words just make so very clear how we are to give ourselves completely to God. Wesley said, put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full or let me be empty. Let me have all things or let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. That is complete faith. That is complete trust. And I don't think that you can believe in God and have complete trust in God inside and out and remain the same. And that is why Jesus had so much trouble, such a hard time with the Pharisees. They thought they were morally and religiously and ritually superior, and they did a whole bunch of things, a lot of busy work kind of things. But their hearts, their souls, Jesus saw that they were not entrusted to God. Jesus called them, and it wasn't very nice, but whitewashed tombs filled with rot and decay. They talked a good talk without walking the walk. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more of James, and I'm going to read it from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, and it hits very hard. It goes a little beyond what Richard read earlier. He writes, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything?" He's talking about faith. "Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, if you came upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and said, 'Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit,' and walked off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup, where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, 'Sounds good, you take care of the faith department and I'll handle the works department.' Not so fast," the scripture continues in this translation, "not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith, fit together hand in glove." Verse 19 and 20. "Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, and then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that. Does it do them any good? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands?" Yikes. Faith. It is our response to what God has done for us. And it is to be a living response. And so when our, and let me just make this more specific to our congregation. And so when our women's circle visits in prison, or when our membership participates in Kairos Prison Ministry, or when we do the Warm Project, or Salkehatchee, our volunteers in United Ministries, or the soup kitchen, or the prayer shawl, or the Main Point band, or the choir, or the disciple studies, whatever we do, when we do these things, we are not simply another civic group doing nice things. And if we are, and it does not flow from our faith in Jesus Christ and from God's compassion given us through the Holy Spirit, then we are no better than the Pharisees. But if we do these things because we feel we must, because God is compelling us, because Jesus is there among those people to be served and the need is real, and we remember Jesus' words, "When you have done this to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." When our motivation comes from God working within us, then it looks a whole lot more like faith and trust and giving ourselves to God. Don't you think something ought to come from having the Creator God within us? Something new. Faith, trust, means that God has got you. And I'm not sure that's proper English and grammar. I'm pretty sure that it is not. But it means that God has got you, your heart, your mind, your soul, your time, your talents, your billfold. And when God has got you, it shows. I think that's enough. Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, open my eyes that I may see the needs of others. Open my ears that I may hear their cries. Open my heart so that they need not be without succor.
Let me not be afraid to defend the weak because of the anger of the strong, nor afraid to defend the poor because of the anger of the rich. Show me where love and hope and faith are needed, and use me to bring them to those places. And so open my eyes and my ears that I may this coming day be able to do some work. Peace for thee. Amen.
set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in Him our resting place, and He has made me glad. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Let the people say, God has smiled on me, He has set me free. God has smiled on me, He's been good to me.
Jesus is the world to me, my life, my joy, my hope. Today, without Him I would fall.
Must Jesus the world, and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me.
Let the people say, God has smiled on me, He has said. God has smiled on me, He's been good to me.
I sing the mighty power of God that makes the mountains rise. His prayers the glowing seas abroad and fill the empty skies.
Oh, yes, be the tide.
God's people say, God has smiled on me, He has set me free. God has smiled on me, He's been good to me. God has smiled on me, He has set me free.
Our prayer shawl blessing is going to be a little bit different this morning. In just a few seconds, they're going to start moving. Beginning January 20th, Main Street UMC started the Common Thread, a prayer shawl ministry. And to date, these industrious 27 women have provided 69 shawls to this congregation to be blessed. And those 69 shawls are now providing comfort to new mothers, to those hurting, to those grieving, to those struggling, to those healing. In those shawls are stitched thousands of stitches, but also prayers of comfort, faith, peace, and healing. Today we have 44 shawls ready to present to this congregation for blessing. And these are carried by members of Main Street who are now in the center aisle. Now, all of you in the congregation, this will be different from in the past, are asked to stand if you are able and to move toward the center aisle. You can just scoot if you wish, with the person sitting on the aisle reaching out and touching the shawl, and the person behind them touching their shoulder, and so on. So we're all touching, but not in a way that would spread the flu. We're all touching. So I ask you now if you would sort of move toward the middle and touch the person with the shawl and touch the person touching the person with the shawl. Let us all be connected as we bless these prayer shawls to go forth as a concrete symbol of God's love. Now let us pray. May God's grace be upon these shawls, warming, comforting, enfolding, and embracing. May these mantles be a safe haven, a sacred place of security and well-being, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as difficult ones. May the ones receiving these shawls be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you remain where you are for our benediction and our blessing for food, there is lunch today. And even if you did not know there was lunch today and did not bring a covered dish, you are invited to stay, to move toward the fellowship hall. And so, receive a combination benediction and blessing. Lord, we know what you have done for us. Help us live lives of thanksgiving and continue the ministry of Christ in the ways that you empower us, in the ways that you have gifted us, in the ways that you urge us through the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Now bless this fellowship as we gather around the table with joy, with sharing, with the noticing of one another, whether we are happy, whether we are sad, we are family in Christ. And so bless our gathering and bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies and us to your service in your name and for your sake and to your glory. In Jesus' name.